Well, I sure would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start with a scripture in Hebrews, 4th chapter, Four and 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I think that it's interesting the way this scripture speaks, and I'm not in depth in studying it, never really read anything about the particular point. But it says basically that he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. It doesn't say he's touched with our infirmities. It says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. I have a certain vantage point from where I'm standing tonight. I'll take a rough guess that there's probably somewhere over 100 people in here tonight, counting the children. And I'm in a vantage point of being able to watch you. I get to see what your expressions are. And I noticed something through the course of this revival and basically every revival I'm in. Things touch people. God made us with feelings. I'll be preaching along sometimes and people will start laughing. Sometimes I know why, sometimes I don't. Sometimes in the course of ministering, the Lord will work in a way that I'll see a lot of wet eyes. People will start having their feelings. I can see that. I can see the Lord working and touching sometimes in the course of very strong language about salvation. I can see people start moving. I can see something working in their face. I can see the changes that people have, and I can read somewhat, not perfectly, but I can read somewhat in to the feelings that they have. The scripture says that the Lord is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. But I think the Lord's touched with more than that. I think that the feelings of our worship and our adoration to God touches Him. I think it touches the Lord. I think the feelings that we have one to another, deep brotherly love, touch the Lord. I think He recognizes that. I also think that when we don't have to say words, when things come that touch us and that we have feelings towards someone else, I don't think we have to say the words. Maybe we have to them to get them to understand how we feel. But we don't have to tell that to the Lord. The Lord's touched with that feeling that we have. I think God in His Spirit is very in tune with the way we feel. I don't know, that language of that scripture is peculiar to me because it doesn't say that. I know He cares about our diseases and our infirmities and our weaknesses and those. I know that. But He says, this scripture says that He's touched with the feeling of it. It seems that the emotion that stirs us, God cares about. It touches Him that something. In other words, if it's not real, but I feel it, God is touched with it. He cares about us that to the point that that's the way He works with us. He cares about what we think. And so when it's important. God made us to feel. He made us beings that can feel things. Well, I got a little definition. It may not help a lot, but I wrote down a definition. It says to have the sensibility or the passion to move or excite. the sensibility or the passion that's moved in us. To feel something. And like I said, I noticed tonight actually, because this was on my heart, but because of that, I was listening to some songs and noticing my reactions. I had some feelings. Did you all feel any of it in the spatial singing? Was passions moved any with any of those songs? Because I noticed some sensibilities moving in me, but I noticed more than that. I noticed it in some of you too. I noticed in the expressions of the face, there was feelings that, it's very important. It's very important. I thank God that He made us the way that He did. But I want to say something, they can be altered. Brother Jim White was a dear friend of mine, and most of you probably knew something of him. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He was born in 1922. So he was a grown young man when World War II broke out. Brother Jim lived a hard life, and he didn't know it at the time, but it was a meager existence. Told the story of having two shirts. Brother Jim had a shirt that he wore to school, and he come home and he took it off. He wore that shirt to school 5 days, and they wash it on the weekends. And the other shirt was for every other activity. He had two shirts. Brother Jim grew up to have a real appreciation for shirts. He had a closet full of shirts. Something was affecting Brother Jim in his life. That affected him. But he grew up, and then World War II broke out. Brother Jim was married. He got married right before the war, and he went to war. And he joined up, volunteered to be a part of the 101st Airborne, paratroopers, tough men. They were tough men. These men were trained, and it was an elite group. But not just anybody could do this. It had to be voluntary. They didn't order anybody into this. He volunteered for it. Brother Jim volunteered for it. And he went off to war. Left a wife and left a young child and went off to war. And he saw war from a man's point of view. He saw it up close and personal. He told me about the many battles he was in. He told me about flying over Normandy on D-Day. One of the first waves over, Brother Jim was in. He saw a bunch of his buddies ahead of him in one of the planes. He saw the plane explode right in front of him. In order to miss the exploding plane, his plane actually had to climb up, and it threw all of them in the back. He told me and recounted these stories. Told me about jumping out and landing and all those things. He told me about the death and told me about being under fire and those kind of things. Went on from that position, went on, and ended up being wounded. Ended up in other campaigns and parachuting and firing and being under fire. And he went through the war. He was in some of the most famous battles of the war. He was involved in them in some way or another. Battle of the Bulge, very famous war. Brother Jim was one of them that was in Bastogne when was surrounded by the Germans, and he was one of the 101st. They'd been rushed up there to stop him, and they stopped him, but he was in that, and he lived it and saw it. And he told me one day, he said, "Brother Marty, that war affected me." He said, "It affected me." He said, "I come home, and I come home like all the rest of us did." And he said, "I come home to greet my wife and my child." And he said, "I had no human feelings whatsoever. I walked into the child that I hadn't seen for years and had no human feelings towards that child whatsoever. I went in and greeted the wife that I had left without any human feelings whatsoever." Things around us affect us. And Brother Jim was so affected by war, he didn't know how to hardly break any of those things down. He didn't know how to. He didn't know how to love. He didn't know how to embrace. He said he put on the show of it when he first come back, but he said he had no emotions at all concerning it. But he told more of a story than just that. He told about the time that the Lord started dealing with his heart. And the Lord was able to get a hold of him and blessed him and gave him the ability to feel. Brother Jim, for us that knew him, was a very tender, kind man. When Brother Jim lived a good life, he died a couple years ago, but I'm going to tell you something about him. He had more friends than I could ever imagine, I think, of having. He made friends. He knew how. Brother Jim loved the idea of gentleness because Brother Jim hadn't been a gentleman. He was a rough man with a terrible temper. He was a man without compassion. But when the Lord saved him, he longed to be gentle. I seen this man that I thought was so gentle with tears in his eyes when the message was come about gentleness. It touched him. You could not do a Bible study or a message that had to do with gentleness without him responding to it. He wanted to be gentle so bad that I've seen him go to the altar a number of times, and I'd be like, well, if Brother Jim's gone, Lord help all of us. But he would go with tears in his eyes, and you know, I've been there with him before, and you know what he'd say? Brother Marty, I want to be gentle. I just want to be gentle. And he strove to be that. Don't you think the Lord was touched by the feeling that he embraced to want that? He did. I think God was touched to it to the point that he gave Brother Jim the desires of his heart. And he was able, folks, to be successful. I believe in the Christian race because the Lord taught him to feel. He taught him how to feel and to feel God. And when God worked and when the Spirit of God was working, to feel, to be able to feel God, to have a sensitivity. It was talked about a sensitivity, being stirred, a passion, being excited or stirred, moved. To be able to have that kind of a thing. And it's my burden tonight because I'm going to be honest with you. I believe in this modern time, it's been my burden, that in this modern time that we live in, that there is a real desensitizing going on. There has been a real hardening that's been taking place that is keeping us from being able to feel, respond, and be felt of God. Because God works in those kind of ways. God works with us through that. I know He works with our intelligence, and He does. He works with our ability to make choice. He does. But unless there's an ability to feel, there's no avenue for the Lord to work. There's no avenue to work. This got me in a way that was profound to me. And I know you're all probably thinking, well, Brother Marty had been there a long time ago. But this was profound to me recently. I've had a misconception about people. I've had a misconception about how it worked for a long time. I'd see people that seem to have loved the Lord and seem to be living to the truth and all those things. And I've seen them go away from that. In my heart, in my mind, I was always concluding that they were still feeling. They was going away and making these decisions, but underneath they was really still feeling. You can't just throw the feelings away. I was still feeling it. So I thought they were still feeling it. But the Lord revealed to me something. They wasn't feeling it. They're not feeling it. Folks, if you're getting in that kind of a place, I want to warn you tonight. It's dangerous above all dangers to not be able to feel the Spirit of the Lord. And I thought that they did. I honestly thought that they did. I thought, no, on their pillows at night, they still feel in them pillows at night. They still feel when the Word comes. I thought that, and the Lord convinced me, they don't feel. If they feel, I can get there. But they're not feeling. They've allowed themselves to be calloused. They've allowed themselves by rejecting the truth, by turning it down once they knew it. They began to desensitize themselves to the idea of it. And it's why it doesn't mean as much as it used to. And that's why the Lord can't touch it anymore. And He's feeling for the response. He wants to feel it. The Lord wants to be touched. When He sends His Spirit, He wants to be touched by that feeling of adoration, oh Lord. By that repentance attitude. By that humility. By that, I'm not everything, God. You are. He wants to feel our response. But He can't feel it when we don't feel the move of it. Lord, help us, because it's major here in this our day. In this our time. That we hang to the truth. That we love. Love the truth. And embrace it. And allow the Lord to feel it. Coming from our lives. Feeling our love for Him. Feeling our desire for the things of God. Feeling our love for holiness and righteousness. Let Him feel what we want in life. But oh Lord, help us. I fear this above most anything in life. That I lose the ability to fear and feel. That I can't feel it anymore. There has been places in my life, and I want to confess fault to you tonight. Not specifically, but I want to tell you, there's been things that I have let down in my life before. Incrementally, not thinking they was important, and get to a place and say, how did I get there? How did I ever get there? I used to believe something, and I don't now. And now it don't touch me anymore. I can hear it in these things. And it so got me at one point that I said, why don't I feel anything? And I realized, this is a bad place. Lord, help me to feel. Help me to be sensitive. Over in Jeremiah, the 8th chapter of Jeremiah, the setting of this, most of us know that in the day of Jeremiah was not exactly Israel's high point. The children of Israel was a long ways in the day of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah, there's some words here we want to look at. It's in the 8th chapter, Jeremiah. I'm going to start with the 11th verse. So it says, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. What this is alluding to is that the time that the prophets, the leaders, begin to say to the people, oh, you're all right, right where you're at. I wouldn't worry about the things that you're doing. You're prospering. Everything's going to be fine for you. Give them good reports to them. They had all kind of sin in their life. They had all kind of idolatry in their ranks. They was moving far from God, but the higher-ups was saying, you're fine. You're fine. And trying to tell them that. And it, in a sense, it relaxed them. It relaxed the people. The people wasn't stirred up about it anymore. They relaxed down. We live in that kind of day today, folks. In our religious world, they're telling people, well, you can do anything you want to. Give your heart to the Lord? Yeah, well, I did when I was young. Well, then you're fine. You're fine. There's nothing else for you. And calming them down. I'm fine. I'm fine. Several years ago, I had a friend of mine, and I stopped by one day to see him. And we got to talking. And he told me, he had just recently been saved, and that's why I stopped to talk to him. And we got along real well, and we was talking along, and he told me, he said, Marty, I've got to tell you something. I hate to tell you, but I've got to tell you something. He said, my brother's hanging around down there where y'all work. And he said, I just want to warn you. He said, Eddie's a thief. Now, Marty, I'm going to tell you, Eddie's a thief. He's my brother. He said, and I appreciate him. I love him. But I'm going to tell you, he's a thief. He said, he'll steal anything. You all keep an eye on him down there. And I said, well, thank you for telling us that. And we went on talking. At the end of the conversation, he said, Marty, I'd like to leave a prayer request with you. Pray that my brother would be saved. And I said, I surely will do that. We'll remember Eddie in prayer. And he said, Eddie? Oh, no, I wasn't talking about Eddie. I'm talking about John Paul. Eddie was saved when he was a little boy. He testified of him being saved and a thief at the same time. That's why I'm telling you that was taught to him. It was taught to him. It's fine. He's saved. It's salvation. I said, well, what do you think salvation is then? And he started explaining to us. It had no meaning to it whatsoever or worth of value whatsoever to it. That's what these people had done at this particular time. They had told the people and soothed them down to make them feel better, but not feel. They felt better, but they didn't feel. They didn't feel the Spirit. They didn't feel God. They didn't feel what they ought to have felt. And we'll read that. It says, a question. Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? The answer is nay. Abomination is not just petty little things. Abomination is disgusting. Abominations is horrible. This is a very, very strong, one of the strongest words in the Bible. Abomination is something that is utterly detestable. Disgusting. Did they feel, it says? Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? No. They were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of their visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Did they feel bad? Nope. Did they care? Nope. They didn't care. Didn't feel anything. They didn't feel anything. What a place to be in that you don't feel anything. I've had people that, like I said, that have been in certain places that went away from it and find out that they was doing things, and I'd said they have to feel bad. Well, the knowledge that they have. Well, they'd have to feel bad going to such an extent, and I've always believed that. But the Lord assured me, they don't feel at all. They don't feel. If they could feel, it'd be all right. But they don't feel. And they're moving away. Oh, folks, tonight, do you feel? Is it important to you? Is the things of God important? Is the holiness important to you? Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. Oh, what zeal. Oh, what vehement desire. That's the words of salvation into a heart. It's somebody that cares and feels and wants God's approval on their life. You know, we talk of standards. They're important. But I don't think we ought to misunderstand them. There's doctrines and there's standards. A doctrine, for instance, there's a Bible doctrine of modesty. There's a standard of how you do it. That's the truth. There is a doctrine on modesty. Where and how and all that can't be called doctrine. It's a standard. But let me say this. Every true child of God ought to have a great concern in their heart concerning modesty. Because the Lord spoke of it. It's because it's scriptural. It's a doctrine. Where is it put? There has been taught. You can talk about all that, but one thing you must do is feel. You must feel the need of it. Because the Lord will feel, He'll be touched by your feelings about it. Lord, you said to be that, and I want to be 100% for God. I want you to know, Lord, that I'll go wherever I need to go. God will feel, He'll be touched by that. He'll be touched by that. Divine healing is a Bible doctrine. The standard is someplace. I wouldn't dare try to draw it. But I'm going to say this. I believe every child of God is concerned about what God thinks about it and what He can do with it and how He is touched by it. And when I say, Lord, I will give You this mortal life and all that it is, Lord, to use, God's touched with it. God's touched with it. And when we begin to go outside of those places, you better be very careful that you don't harden yourself against the place that God wants to work with by His Spirit to be able to come in and talk with us and us be moved till He gets it back and He feels it back. I want to be sensitive to the workings of the Lord. I only use those two illustrations because they're about the two easiest ones to understand. But you know as well as I do, they go into all kind of areas. You could say that brotherly love is a Bible doctrine. How do you perform in every case? Hard love? Good love. I mean, there's places to apply it. It's called standards. A standard is basically this. It means I'll go so far and I'll go no farther. That's what it is. It's a line that says this is the safe place. This is where I bring my line to. This is where I feel. It's a standard. It means I'll go so far and I'll go no farther. The Lord had a standard in the Scripture Himself. He said there on the cross, I thirst. He was willing. He was willing to drink. Though it was the cross and all that it held there that was making Him thirsty. The breathing and the agony. And He said, I thirst. And He would have drunk water. Yes. And some may say, well, why would He have relieved Himself? He's going to die in a little bit. Why did He do it? I think He done it for us to say, there is always a line in everything you do. There is a line in there. And but when He sinned, when it was mixed, when it was a mixture, He wouldn't drink thereof. It's because there was a line there. The Lord Himself made a line. Do you understand why? I don't understand it altogether. If you're going to do one, you can do another. If you want to take the argument, but the Lord set a standard. A line. He was suffering for us, folks. He was going all the way and giving His life for us. And I'm going to tell you, He drunk the full measure of it. But in the middle of it, He drew a standard. In every part of our lives, folks, there will be a standard. It ain't so much about the standard as it is the heart that propels it. It's the heart that cares about it. In my heart, Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my heart, I want to be like You. In my heart, I want to please You with everything I do. Sure, I'll go to the extremes if I need to. The lines and taking to the standards. And I love the old ways. I don't fight against them. I'm going to tell you, I was an indecent, immodest person before the Lord saved me. And I was so thankful to get to be clean. I just love it. I love the idea of holiness. It isn't a challenge to me. I love it. I love the idea of dressing right and being right. I love having the idea that my children dress right and we dress them. Even little, we like to dress them a certain way. Why? Because I love it. It ain't a challenge. I love to do it. Lord's touched by it when we love it. Lord, help us tonight. A people, a whole people, who allowed themselves to go from the most glorious place on the earth at the time, underneath God's pavilion, His protection, His plan for a man. He built this way of living that was meant to bless them and keep peace in their ranks and to make them what they ought to have been. And they rejected that for idolatry and hardened their hearts until God Himself couldn't shame them. They wouldn't shame. He couldn't bring guilt to them no matter what he done. They would not respond to the dealings of God. And it gets harsher and harsher until the Lord has to cast it out. There's no dealings there anymore. Lord, help us, every one of us, that we don't go to the place of not being able to feel the workings of God's Spirit, that we would be sensitive. Maybe I haven't lived long enough to say this, but I do feel. The things are changing around us. Do you? I feel that the world's taking its toll. I feel a lethargy and a hardness. I feel some insensitive places. I feel it. I feel that the hours ought to be worked on more. I feel that there ought to be more passion in our service and our devotion. I feel it. I feel that there's a lack of it. Of stirring among us. I think the only way it could be explained is that we don't feel. I think God's still working. I don't think we're feeling like we should. We'll look at another scripture, very familiar. It's 1 Timothy. Speaks of these things. First Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. To look in to this language, the speaking lies in hypocrisy, gives it a religious twist. They had the order of religion. It had its functions. It had its lofty, speaking of lies, that's the communicated as well as the acted. It speaks of speaking the right words. It speaks of love your brother. It speaks of the whole religious function. But hypocrisy means that it's not true. It means it's an act. It's a put on. It's done for reasons of flesh. It's done for prestige. It's done for honor. It's done for fame. It's not done in truth, in humility, in lowliness, in secret. But it's done manifested and out, and it's lies. It's hypocrisy. It's acting. It's pretense. But it goes on in religious circles. It's what's promulgated and it's what's put out. That's what it's talking about. Speaking lies in hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And what that's talking about is the inability to feel any longer because of it. Going through this, have you ever been amazed at that? Again, I'm no judge. I'm not pretending to be a judge. But have you ever seen something so hideous that it was plain to everybody? Except for one person. The one that was doing it. And you look at that and say, how possible? How could it be? I've even asked the question, are they sincere? Can they really believe that? And always before, I could say, I don't think they really do. I just don't think they do. And I've come to the conclusion that you can get yourself in that kind of a place. And you can make some of the most ridiculous arguments in the idea of this speaking lies in hypocrisy. And make some of the most ridiculous arguments to try to justify the actions that you're doing. And it's nothing more than the inability to feel, to be moved, to be touched. You can be touched by a lot of things. I tell a big sad story up here, and a lot of people would be touched by big sad stories and all those. And you know, that ain't altogether what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when the Spirit of the Lord comes with the power of His conviction and moves. And I don't have no ability to be touched by that. I look around and say, yeah, I do that stuff. I don't see nothing wrong with it. And deny the very Spirit that's bringing the power and do it because I can't feel it. And other people's moved around, but I don't feel anything. I don't feel that. If I don't feel it, do you see how much the door's closed? If I don't feel it, I don't think it's all lost. I think there was a scripture that talked about when the Lord sends a strong delusion because they believe or have not a love for the truth. I believe when that comes, it's over. But I think there's a searing and a tussing because of life that happens to us. Because this is what we're facing, folks. We don't just get saved and then bang, we're in heaven. I usually think that'd be a pretty good plan. The day I got good and saved, Lord, just take me out of here. It'd be good. I don't have to fight with any of this stuff. Don't work that way. I'm going to my 25th year of this stuff. had victories, had battles that didn't come out so well. I've been through this and that, and thank God I'm still saved. 25 years later, I can say thank the Lord. God, the Lord's kept me for 25 years, but it's been 25 years of battling going on. So we have life to live. Life to live. Lord might come back tonight. He might last, we might have years to go on and endure to the end. And we can't afford to get desensitized. We must feel. Lord, help us tonight. And I believe it's possible to have calloused yourself to that and be able to do like Brother Jim did when he was calloused and hard beyond all human emotions. God was able to deal in a way that was able to bring him, as he started realizing this great need and how horrible his life had got and how far he had been. He started asking God to give him the sensitivities that he needed. And the Lord started working with him, and God made a success out of him. I'm going to tell you, if you've lost ground, and it, or maybe you're thinking, I didn't lose no ground, but I'm not where I used to. How did I get here? I think it's a good time to start finding out. Start saying, Lord, help me. Help me to be sensitive to the movings of your Spirit. If, and the Scripture is true, but the Scripture says that when the Spirit of God would come, when the Holy Ghost would come, He'd have a job. And it'd be leading and guiding us into all truth. But He can't lead and guide if we don't feel Him. If we don't follow Him, if we don't sense the moving, He can't lead us into all truth. And that's what the Lord wants to do. I think in the Holy Ghost is life. I think it's life. When we start seeing the gauges going down till there's not this, spiritual activities. I think there's enough people here to have all kind of gifts. And we do. Thank God for the gifts. I think there's a lot more the Lord wants active and running. And the only way to have them is to be able to feel. Feel the Lord moving in our hearts. And I'm going to tell you, He'll feel back when we respond. He'll feel that. The Lord is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's also with our laughters, our cries, our concerns, our aggravations, our worship, our adoration to God. I think He feels all of our life. And Lord, help us tonight. I hope the Lord will bless this little thought. But we can't afford to allow this old world to desensitize us. I read in the paper up home an interesting article. There is a lot of proponents of what's called same-sex marriage. They are really hammered in our home paper up there. And, of course, I don't have to explain how I stand in that. What the Scripture says, right where I'm at. But there was somebody that made an awfully good point. They was people writing in and giving Scripture to why that was wrong. So somebody wrote in and said, well, if we're going to use Scripture, why don't we use all of it? He said, let me expound to you some Scriptures on marriage. And he said, why don't you all start at the right place? Divorce in the Scripture is wrong. And I said, amen. Amen. But see, what I'm saying is the distortion. The distortion that gets it further and further and further away. It's got to be more hideous and further off to be responded to because we're so desensitized. It's so much around us. I know so many people, just how can I, what, how? Lord, help us in this, our life, our day. This is something we're all going to have to face, is a desensitizing, the bombardment of things that we stand against that's so prevalent in our world. So prevalent. Continually bombarding us to the point that we become desensitized to the life around us. Lord, help us to be able always to feel the wooing of God's Spirit. You pray for me.